So I'm going to start off giving a little background of NetSec and give you guys some context about why we're doing this. Kind of the key technology differentiators allow us to do it. And kind of the way that we've gone from this and rolled it in through all of our OPAL applications and specifically the Spot Assist system. And then I'm going to get into what we're kind of going to be doing forward with this system and what we're hoping to complete later this year. So who are we? We are a 3D real vision system. So we actually started a lot of our technologies with NASA, ESA, CSA. We've been working with them for about 2 decades now. A lot of our systems are actually initially geared for space applications, and we've been kind of taking that technology and commercializing it for relative spaces in the last 4 or 5 years. So what this means is that a lot of the things that you'll see and we've developed for the mining systems are actually been well used in the military and aerospace. So such as things as tracking, identification, using the LiDAR data in real time and whatnot. So some of the products that spun out of NetSec are some of our OPAL scanners. OPAL stands for Obscurant Penetrating Autosynchronous LiDAR. So what that means is that we've taken these scanners, which are actually initially designed for lunar rovers scanning on the surface, and we've taken a technology that we helped develop with the US military for helicopters landing in brownout conditions. So what this does is allows our laser scanners to actually see through obscurant to a certain extent. We basically are using multi-echo pathing in order to send a large laser pulse out through obscurant to be able to detect where the true edge and the true surface is in each detection range. So we've designed these scanners really to maximize the field of view. So one of our scanners, the OPAL 360, has a 360-degree azimuth, and the other, OPAL 120, has a conical field of view. So using this, plus all of our software applications, it allows us to develop real-time systems for a lot of our clients, and specifically the Spot Assist. So the neat features about this is it is a big scanner, but when you mount it onto a large 4100 or other large mining equipment, it ends up being quite small. So as I mentioned before, you have dust obscurant penetration. It uses an eye-safe laser, and you can get CEs quite a long range for these scanners. And so some of the software we developed for these systems in particular is really kind of focusing on harsh environments. So we can do things such as scan data alignment, which means we can actually use our LiDAR, including the internal IMU, in order to figure out where the LiDAR has moved. So what we found from a lot of our experience in the automation field is that you can't really focus on one true technology. What you need to do is do data fusion or use multiple sensor information in order to get a true rugged solution. So this means if you're operating in a space where you're really focused on using GPS, sometimes you need to have some secondary technology to augment that. So we use our LiDAR to do that in brownout conditions. So here's an example of some of our dust penetration. This is at a military base in Canada. What you're looking at is essentially an aerial LiDAR scan of a helicopter flying in close to our scanner. And this is essentially raw data that would come out of it. So what you see there on the dust cloud, I think I've got a laser pointing here. The dust cloud here is essentially dust being kicked up from the ground surface. And you can see, here's my reference frame. Here's our OPAL scanner with its minimum range and a lot of the dust that's kicked up from the system. So what ends up happening if you pull down from a side view is that here's all your dust that's into the raw data. We filter all that data in real time so that what you can actually see is all the objects in the ground plane actually in the field of view, and then from there we can do downstream processing such as object detection or tracking of objects or identification. So this obviously has a lot of application for mining because traditional LiDARs actually have a pretty hard time working in certain spaces in mining. Some of the deformation monitoring applications have kind of proven to be quite well, but once you take a LiDAR and you try to put it onto a large shovel and let's for example a coal mine, you're obviously going to have some difficulty scanning some of the operator interactions such as the trucks coming in or if you're trying to profile a bench and whatnot. So this has really allowed us to kind of get into this market and start working with it. So here's 2 examples of our scanner up on shovels at the Fording River mine last September. We did a proof of concept to demonstrate our Spot Assist system, and we had some interesting weather there in early September. You can see some snow in the left picture, and on the right there you can see accumulation of dust on one of the lens of our OPAL 360. What's nice about the way that we've designed this is it's an IP67 unit, so all you have to do is take a pressure wash and wipe it off, or if you're mounting this on a shovel, you can have the shovel hand come up and just wipe it off as part of his walk around on a daily basis. So specifically for shovel applications, we focused on the Spot Assist to really kind of showcase all the downstream processes that we can do from an advanced standpoint, but we also can do things such as bench mapping, bench profiling, fragmentation analysis, volume analysis. And what we're trying to do here is really come up with a way to say, here's your core product that you can put onto a shovel, such as our laser scanner, and here are all the secondary applications we can supply. Because some of these LiDARs do have a large capital cost, but once you get them on there, there's a lot of different applications you can do with it. So at the same time, we're also developing a stockpile application that uses our laser scanners to monitor stockpiles in real time. So back to the spot assist. Again, here's our Opal scanner mounted on the shovel. I'm going to show you some videos about how the system works and some of the challenges that we faced and where we kind of matured in this technology. So right now, this is where the two scanners are mounted. One is on the front left corner, essentially welded to the base map of that, the base frame of the 4100, also tied into the railing. And on the back side there, we've welded a mount right to the back of the counterweight. So some of the key features that our partners were looking for was obviously identifying and tracking the haul trucks in real time, looking to dynamically cue these vehicles into the loading location. We want to alarm operators of the obstructions in the path in order to ensure that they're not running over large objects such as large rocks or support equipment, RTDs coming in to clean the face. But another thing that we found quite neat, because we have the ability to image the face in real time, we can actually go in and model the face and determine where the toe is, and actually optimize that loading location based off the toe. So if you guys have gone in and watched some of these truck drivers come into the face, oftentimes they're actually using the face themselves to kind of augment where they should be in relation to the shovel. So they're backing up, and instead of just stopping, they just kind of wait till they bump into the face, which obviously has some repercussions on your tire reliability. So this all really comes down to improving the spotting times and the respotting potential for the operator confidence as well. So here's an example GUI. I apologize for how simple it is. This was a proof of concept. We didn't spend a lot of time on GUI development, but this is a case example of what we wanted to show the operator, which is where his truck is, where the shovel is, and then a very simple path and a simple means for him to have a better idea of how to bring his truck into the proper loading location. You can also see on the right that while we have all this information, we can very easily map a lot of the telemetry data, so we can actually say where the truck is, and we can go from here into quite a better way of doing training. So obviously there's some implications here of getting the operators into a training simulator, getting them used to the system before you put it out into the field. So I'm going to show you a video of it now and it works. So I've broken the screen down to four. I apologize, you can't see too well up here, but this is the raw data, the LiDAR data. This isn't what we would show the operator, but you can see that we're tracking this haul truck in real time, and this information is being fed back to this truck GUI. So this was a pretty straightforward application, but it kind of shows the implications of what we can do here. And this is the shovel GUI. So in the instance, we found that we've done a pretty good job of determining where the toe is in this face, but obviously there's gonna be incidences where we haven't. And so we've given the ability for the shovel operator in order to augment where the shovel location is relative to the truck. So once the truck comes in and he's in a good position, the screen tells him, lets him know, and you can get ready loaded. So we were at Fording River for 2 weeks. We had the scanners up on a production shovel for basically 90% of that time. So we went through a lot of different testing in terms of hardware and communications, looking at all the applications behind it. Obviously, there's a lot of downstream processing that is required. Once that LiDAR data comes into our 3DRI package, we have to do things such as segmenting the data, tracking that data, looking for objects that are haul trucks versus objects that are support equipment. And then once you have that information, you process it and feed it out to the truck display. So there's a lot of and different aspects of this project that we wanted to test, and so far things have gone quite well, and we're pretty happy about where we are from a proof of concept standpoint. So some of the elements of this project which were crucial for it was things such as object detection. So here's just 2 seconds of LiDAR data coming off of one of our scanners. We wanted to kind of showcase how we can detect objects. Pulling in a ground plane is pretty straightforward, but actually knowing what an object is and being intelligent about how you interact with it can be quite difficult. I'm sure a lot of the guys who are working with the autonomous haul trucks can attest to this. Using LiDAR and using GPS, you really need to look at focusing on multiple technologies and so there's redundancy in your safety systems. So here's another example of the, I wanted to kind of step through our contour mapper because this is part of the application we're actually quite proud of. So what we can do is, here's their face data, and what we're doing essentially is generating a background of data. So once this data is generated, we then segment it. I'm sorry, you can't see this very well, but this is essentially the face, and then this is the ground plane that we've detected. So as we step through our augmentation, what we're doing is we're actually detecting where the toe is and then optimizing the loading location based off where that vehicle's landed up. So what's needed by this feature is it's very configurable. So we've set into the system to say, augment the location of the truck about 1 meter away from the face to make sure there's no tire obstructions. And obviously this is configurable depending on what site and what type of ore body you're working with. So here's another application. I want to show you the LiDAR data a bit more. So one thing we found with working with the operators is just looking at LiDAR data in general is quite difficult. We don't want to actually show all this data to the operator. This is really just here for context. What we really want to focus on is the path planning and the trajectory that the vehicle is on. So once this vehicle's in place, shovel operator can drop his load and away he goes. So what's nice is because we have the LiDAR data on the shovel, we can do things such as, you know, detecting the volumes that are inside the truck, scanning the face. So key next steps for our project are really, as I mentioned before, is really focusing on the human interface design. As you saw, it's quite rudimentary at the moment. We really just wanted to have something in place to kind of test from. So we're going to be really kind of buying in on that and making sure that we can get operators in and working on in a simulation environment to make sure that this is the type of system they'd be interested in using. Because obviously at the end of the day, if you have your operators not wanting to use the system, then they're not going to want to work with it. Next steps from our proof of concept in September is to really push towards extended testing in a mining environment. So we're going to be working with our partners to, we're still working on which locations can be hosting us later this fall, and we're going to be doing some long-term 6 to 8 month testing to make sure that we can go through all the little gotchas in the system and make sure that we can refine this and mature this product. So obviously the key engineering implement test identify prove and repeat system. So in conclusion, I think what I really want to focus on is that this is still a technology in its infancy, but we are still moving towards a more mature product, and I think there's a lot of potential for what we can do using LiDAR, but I think the real message is from what we've learned specifically is that focusing on one technology in itself, say one sensor system, is works and it's great, but you really need to have redundant technology. So we work with GPS to help align our scanners, but making sure that you have secondary systems so that in a failure state that'll work well, that will really make sure that these products take off and work reliably in the mining environment. Thanks very much. So I think we're going to field some questions.
Yeah. Brett's agreed to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Once you align your scanners with the GPS, do you rely on the satellites for any further backup or anything?
Yeah, so when we first started, that's one of the things that we kind of identified as a real risk in the system was, as the shovels were rotating back and forth, we're relying on that heading to stitch our LiDAR data back together. So we developed a technology at a different time for what we called scan data alignment. So what it's doing is it's using an internal IMU inside of the scanner plus the LiDAR data itself, kind of like a SLAM system, in order to say, here I am now and here's my delta. So what we can do is, in effect, a version of dead reckoning. So as it's rotating back and forth, I can say where I am relatively if the GPS does drop out. So what we've found is that especially when the shovels get really close to the face, even if there's RTK involved, that GPS can go wildly out. So we've really been working on using it when it's there and making sure we're confident about what that solution is and not using it when it's not working well.
Got one more back there.
Does that dead reckoning work only when it's in rotation, or does it work under tramming conditions as well?
It definitely works in trimming conditions. One of the things you need really is key features in the field of view. So if we're talking, let's say, strapping one of our 120 scanners to the front of a haul truck, you can drive for quite some time and be able to identify objects. The downside you're going to find is that where your global position is going to blend. So if I'm driving along a haul road that's very flat and straight, it's kind of like driving down a drift underground. At some point, you just have no idea where you are relative to where you started. So there is going to be some error generation as you walk around.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. Let's grab that.